The conference room they finally entered was small, centered with a table large enough for only eight or so to surround. It had a display console at one end, but Lord Thornbuckle ignored that. He waited until his escort nodded, then sat at one end of the table. Habit, Esme supposed.
Sit down, and I'll make this as brief as possible. You haven't been here long, have you?
Just got off the shuttle, sir. I'm here for the command courses I missed earlier, and then the standard junior officer's course.
The one that would qualify her to command a ship in combat, according to the Board of Inquiry, which had recommended it. Of course, not being qualified hadn't stopped her yet, but she put that out of her mind and prepared to focus on whatever Lord Thornbuckle had to say.
My daughter wanted to take some training with fleet experts. I agreed, in part because she'd gotten herself into so much trouble without training. It seemed the risk-taking genes had all come together in her.
And the lucky genes. I know they're not enough, but they're also not negligible. That's what Captain Commander Serrano said, and her Aunt Admiral.
The thought of anyone calling Vida Serrano Aunt Admiral, even a niece, shocked Esme. For this girl, for Brunn was clearly younger than she was, to do so would have been unthinkable except that Brunn had just done it.
But there have been incidents. I thought she'd be safer here, on a fleet training facility.
I am safer.
Brunn, face the facts. Someone shot at you, tried to kill you.
Esme managed not to say what she was thinking, that a fleet training facility was not, in the nature of things, the safest place in the universe. Live fire exercises, for instance.
It wasn't anywhere near a live fire exercise. That was my first thought, of course. Military training is dangerous, it has to be. But we, and by we I mean not only myself, but others who've seen Brunn in action, thought it would be less dangerous than turning her loose on the universe untrained. No, this has been different. I suppose we were just careless. We knew there were traitors in fleet. That mess with Xavier proved it. But it didn't dawn on me that there might be traitors here, in a training base, until Admiral Serrano pointed it out. We knew that Brunn might be at special risk, but we didn't react fast enough.
I'm alive.
You survived with your usual flair. But you also had to spend a day in the regen tank, which is not what I call coming out unscathed. Too close for comfort, is my analysis. You have to have more protection, or you have to leave.
Brunn's shoulders twitched.
I'll be careful.
Not good enough. You have to sleep sometime.
Have you identified the nature of the threat?
No, not precisely. And the worst of it is that I can see a variety of threats. The Benignity's not happy with their loss at Xavier, and we are sure they have other agents in fleet. Some have been identified, others haven't. They consider assassination a political tool. The Blood Horde, well, you can imagine how they would like to have my daughter in their control. Then there are my personal enemies among the Familiars. A few years ago, I would not have believed any of the families would make war on personal relations. But now, things have changed.
And you or your advisors think your daughter should leave this facility?
It would be easier to protect her at home, or even on Castle Rock.
I would go crazy. I'm not a child, and I can't just sit around doing nothing.
Do you want to join Fleet?
Esme couldn't really imagine this obvious rebel wanting to join anything with discipline, but if she hadn't understood... Brunn eyed her father.
I did at one time. Now, I'm not sure.
She doesn't want to get stuck doing boring things.
It's not that.
Isn't it? When Captain Serrano pointed out how much of her time was spent on boring routine, you said you didn't much like that prospect.
I don't. But that's part of any life. I do understand that, just as I understand that the exciting bits are dangerous. You seem to think...
Perhaps you should tell me what you think I might do to help.
She needs a mentor. If she's going to stay here, I need to know that someone of her...
Esme could almost hear the unspoken, discarded choices. Social standing, rank, type, ability.
Someone she might respect and listen to anyway will be near her. She's been chattering about you and your exploits.
I do not chatter.
So I thought maybe you...
She has her own responsibilities. And there are the guards.
Are you telling me now that you will accept the security procedures we talked about?
Brunn gave Esme a challenging look.
Rather than bother Lieutenant Sweezer? Yes. She will be busy with her own courses here, and they don't exactly give officers time off to play nursemaid to rich girls.
Thornbuckle looked from one to the other of them.
I have seen more cooperative senior ministers of state. Whatever gene sculpting we did on you, Brunn, it's not going to be repeated.
I didn't ask for it.
No, but life gives you a lot you didn't ask for. Now, if you promise me that you will cooperate with the new security procedures...
All right, I'll cooperate.
Then, Lieutenant Sweezer, I'm very sorry to have wasted your time, and I must thank you for your recent actions. You well deserve your award.
Lord Thornbuckle nodded at the new ribbon on her uniform.
Thank you.
Esme wondered if she was just supposed to leave and forget the conversation had ever happened. She turned to Brunn and suppressed an almost wistful expression on her face.
If we end up in the same class, I'll be glad to share notes with you. I'm glad to have met you.
Esme got up when Thornbuckle did, and he walked her to the door.
I'm officially still Smith.
I understand, sir.
Esme understood more than she wanted to, or than he expected. She was glad to get back to her own quarters, where she could deal with her memories of her father in privacy. There, she found a stack of study cubes in the delivery bin and racked them into the cube reader's storage. Some looked much more promising than others. Leadership for junior officers made sense, but why did she have to study administrative procedures for junior staff? She didn't want anything to do with administration. Brunn curled up on her bunk under her very non-regulation afghan and pretended to nap until her security detail had finished whatever it was doing and gone to stand outside, as if she were a prisoner, as if she were a naughty child, as if being shot at were her fault. Her father had done it again. She would have been fine if he had only been somewhere else, if only she had had time to get well before he showed up. But no, he had to come here, still unsure she should be doing things like this, and embarrass her in front of a room full of professionals.
In front of Esme Sweezer.
She rolled over and picked up her remote, then flicked on her cube reader, cycling through the selections until she found the one she wanted. Back on Xavier, while she herself was drunk and incapable, as her father had mentioned more than once, Esme Sweezer had survived the treachery of her captain, the mutiny that followed, and then saved everyone, including Brunn, by blowing up the enemy flagship. Brunn had followed the court-martial of Despite's crew in the news. She had wondered over and over how that calm young woman with the flyaway hair managed to do it. She didn't look that special. But something in the expression, in the eyes that never wavered, caught at her. And then, the same young woman had been a hero again, in an adventure that seemed like something out of a Story Cube series. She had been outside a ship during FTL flight and survived. She had defeated another enemy. Once more, her image filled the news viewers. And once more, Brunn had imagined meeting her, talking to her, becoming, she was sure they could become, friends. When she'd learned that Esme Sweezer was coming here to Copper Mountain, that she might even be in the same classes, she had been so certain that her luck was running true. Here at last was the woman who could help her be like that, help her combine her uncooperative past experiences into the self she wanted to be. And now her father had ruined it. He had treated Sweezer as a professional worthy of respect. He had made it clear he thought Brunn was a headstrong child. What would Esme Sweezer think now? What could she think when the Speaker of the Grand Council, her own father, had presented her that way? It was impossible that Sweezer could see her as a competent adult. She would not let it be impossible. She would not let this chance go by. There had to be some way to convince Sweezer that she was more than a silly fluffhead. Fluffhead made her think of Sweezer's hair, which could certainly use some attention. Maybe Sweezer would be approachable on a girl-to-girl level first, and then she could prove what else she could do. At the next main meal, a few hours later, Esme returned to the mess and sat with a table full of jigs and lieutenants who had arrived the day before. She remembered a few of them from the academy, but had not served with any of them. They knew of her recent exploits and were eager to discuss them.
What's it like to fly a Bloodhorde Raider?
In the 6 years since their graduation, Varicor, another lieutenant, had gained several kilos and now sported a crisp red mustache. Esme knew the expected response.
Fun. Goes like a bat, even if you don't redline it.
Shielding?
None to speak of. And the weapon systems are amazing for its size. The interior's mostly weapons, very little crew space.
They must have lousy shooting if they missed you.
They didn't shoot at us first. After all, I was in their ship. They let us get close and poof.
Yeah, that's the way. What are you here for?
A whole string of things. I'm changing to command track.
You mean you weren't?
No.
That's fleet personnel for you. Take someone with a flair like yours and shove her into technical just because they need more techs. They ought to recruit techs if they want more.
Esme opened her mouth to explain it hadn't been Fleet's fault, considered the difficulty of the subsequent explanations, and nodded instead.
Yep. So now they've let me into command track and I have to play catch-up. All the stuff I missed.
They're not going to drag you through command psychology and all that, Dorf.
Esme nodded.
When you've actually commanded ships in battle, that's ridiculous.
No, that's regulations.
Esme was enjoying herself, she realized, with people who were almost strangers, even without Baron. The discovery that she could enjoy herself like this was new enough that it still surprised her when it happened.
You know, I heard the Speaker's daughter's here.
Well, she's run through the whole of Royal Space Service. I suppose she's looking for new blood.
Esme pursed her lips. She could not say anything without revealing knowledge she wasn't supposed to have.
Is it true she was floating around in a rockhopper's pod, stark naked at Xavier?
Alone?
That's the story. My cousin, you know Liam, Esme. He was on Despite. He said he heard from a buddy on the flagship that she got stewed and somehow ended up out there all alone. But Liam's a bit inventive. I figured Esme would know if it really happened.
Why?
Because they'd have put a young female officer with her afterwards. I figured that would be you.
Not me. I was busy doing scut work on Despite. Never even saw her.
Until now, but that was another thing she couldn't tell them. When she left the table, she glanced around but did not see Brunn.
Does the girl have meals alone somewhere?
Esme pushed aside the thought that the girl might be lonesome. Brunn Meager was not her problem. This course was. At 0500 local time the next morning, Esme shivered in the chill pre-dawn breeze, much cooler than ship standard. The air smelled of growing things and distance, sharply different from ship air. It wasn't home, but some of the smells were the same. Her shivering didn't last long once the exercise started. Esme grinned to herself. She had always worked out faithfully, but some of these people clearly had not. She was sweaty but not exhausted after an hour and a half. She had surprised herself by coming in fourth in the final run around the drill field. In the distance, she had seen the irregular cliffs for which Copper Mountain was named emerge from pre-dawn dimness to show the oranges and reds and ochres when the sun hit them. The whole time, Varicor complained loudly but good-naturedly. She suspected it was mostly for effect. He didn't seem to be breathing any harder than she was, and it took breath to complain. He neared her as they jogged toward their quarters.
When's your first class?
Not class. Testing. You think I can test out of some things to make room for others?
Esme hoped so. Otherwise, her schedule would be impossible. They parted with a wave, and Esme went in to shower, thinking how different he was from Baron. He was older. He was her peer. He was pleasant and handsome, and about as exciting as a bowl of porridge. That first day passed in a blur of activity. She tested out of some sections. She'd been told she probably would. Scan, as she expected, and Holland architecture, which she had not. She must have picked up more of that on Kosciusko than she'd thought. The military law segment concentrated on treason, mutiny, and conduct unbecoming, giving her an unfair advantage, she thought, but she wasn't going to complain. Administrative procedures, though, was her downfall, along with tables of organization and command chains in areas where she'd never served. The testing officer frowned over her test results.
Well, your schedule's going to be all over the place. If you actually took both courses back to back, you'd be here 5 standard months. You placed out of about half the lower course and a tenth of the upper. Well, let's see now.
He finally produced a schedule that looked impossible for the first 2 weeks, though he claimed that two of the classes were no-brainers and merely difficult for the next 7. She had a few choices and picked Search and Rescue Basic and Escape and Evasion. They sounded more active than the optional Staff Support and Administrative Methods courses. Besides, she knew they were practical. She didn't want to end up in Baron's situation.